Well, you knew this day had to come. Mom was going on a trip, and that kind of means no episode with Mom. On Even My Mom Has a Podcast. Hey, I'm fellow traveler Von Fry. Not joining me this time is Mom. We actually sat down and had a little bit of extra content made with Mom to sprinkle in. We're not going to have any of that this week. I just kind of feel like she only gave me like two segments. I'm like, look, you're going to miss like four or five episodes. What are we going to do? So let's actually kind of let that simmer, build that up for next time, shall we? Just kind of have you guys thinking, oh, wow, what did Mom say in the past? Yeah, we have a segment. It is going to be Mom explaining a movie. I think that's a fun thing to do. Not everybody seems to love it, but I have a fun time hearing it. And I think Mom gave a pretty good explanation for that movie. So we're going to listen to that next time. As for me, last night I made my way through Senua's Saga Hellblade 2 on Xbox. Now, this is a game that is available day one, Xbox Game Pass. It's really designed for that purpose. It's to be, hey, Game Pass really needed a new story-driven title first party this year. We got to put something out there. This fills that void. And it's unfortunate that more people aren't kind of getting behind this game. And the criticism is it's short. Okay, so maybe it's 6 hours if you're rushing through it. I completed my first playthrough in just under 9. Now, I looked around plenty. The graphics are at a watershed level I didn't really think we would get to in my lifetime. It's pretty astonishing that we have games now that look better than... Remember that crappy 2007 film, Beowulf, where you got Angelina Jolie CGI covered in gold? They tried to pass it off as realistic CGI. Okay, well, what it was is it was like a Pixar film that didn't quite have the engineering for the renders just yet, but they wanted to pass it off as, okay, so we didn't have large cartoonish eyes, so it is realistic in that regard. This looks better than that, and it's a game that you're playing at that time. All these cinematics in the game are all done in game engine, Unreal 5. The sound of this game, the sound design, is just as well up there. You hear waves crashing while you're listening to the Furies, this psychosis element that your character Senua has. She's a Celtic warrior she's got quite a grudge with the Norsemen, and she's taking the fight to them in Iceland, and she hears voices in her head, and they're all around you. It could be over here. This one's over here. And they don't really serve the purpose of the typical radio buddy in a game. Press X to do... You have to open the door. Hey, open the door. Let's go. And, like, there's not much of that. It's more of a, hey, doesn't she see it? Can't she see it? She should see it. She should look over there. They'll give you clues, but in a way that antagonizes you. It's actually a really novel approach. The previous game, Hellblade, Senua's Sacrifice, did a similar thing. And this game really ups all that immersion to like a whole new level. You're expected to wear headphones. I wear my very trusty Bang & Olufsen Beoplay Portal. It's my typical go-to headphone for enjoying streaming movies, playing games. I don't use it so much if I'm going to host a Twitch stream, because you kind of need something with a dedicated microphone. This has like a mic, virtual mic arm. Oh, hey, well, it makes 8 microphones. They form, they're angled in a way to capture your mouth. Yeah, and some other stuff around the house. And it's not the best mic quality, but these headphones have active noise cancellation. They have Dolby Atmos. They have Xbox Wireless. I use them for, so far, every movie I have watched on my Xbox Series X with the 4K disc. has been with these headphones. And you need that sort of experience. And I think that most people actually do play games these days with headphones on. I don't think a lot of people really use the TV. And I might have been one of the last people to really be doing that. Until I got 2019, I think, was the first gaming headphone I got. And before that, I had like that one ear off to the side. Like, oh, it's your left ear and the microphone is over your face. That's what I had. It came with like the Xbox. The Xbox One, I think, it came with a headset. And then after a few evolutions of the Xbox One, they called the Xbox One S or the Xbox One X. Yeah, their nomenclature has problems. They dropped the headset, and I'm like, hey, this is a travesty. If the system doesn't come with a headset, whatever it is, you're not going to have communication in games. And I was right. Now you want to play games by yourself, and this is that isolation experience. The visuals look like you're watching a movie. And when you're fighting guys, this is like Sword. It's so streamlined, and in a good way. You don't run around Iceland trying to gather resources because there's not even a forest. You don't do any of that garbage. I'm just so tired of all the busy work we see in games these days in so many ways. It's like, oh man, now I have to upgrade this sword. Why should I even buy that sword if there's going to be a better one later? Oh man. I learned a technique. Only in games can you learn a technique. The way this works out. You don't do any of that in this game. You are Senua, the Celtic warrior gal, through and through for the duration of the game. By and large, you have all the abilities from the get-go. And I like that. I like that in a game like the early Halo games. You're Master Chief from the start. You don't learn to become a great fighter of aliens. Yeah, you yourself learn how to handle the situation. And that's a higher level of doing it versus, oh, you leveled up. You got the XP. Yeah, here's your experience points. Hey, you want to allocate some of these resources to improve your armor? All that stuff is trash. I hate it. And that's a problem with all the open world games. This isn't an open world game. It's narrative driven. You, by and large, have a path you go down, but you're going forward. She's a focused woman. I think in some ways this makes sense. Okay, so all you really have at your disposal, you can knock on some doors that aren't going to open, and you can lift yourself up a small ledge and jump down a ledge. As exploration goes, it's pretty minimal. Now, you do look for a few these little hidden items. There's faces in rock that if you identify them, there's a tree kind of gets shown to you, like this path opens up. You see it was an optical illusion. It's not really an optical illusion, but it's kind of cool how they do this in the game. And then you learn some lore about Iceland. And my folks went to Iceland recently, so I think my mom would find something about this kind of appealing. You learn about the hidden folk. There's a lot in the game about the hidden folk. For the life of me, I'm not really so sure that they did much to help. Yeah, in fact, maybe they didn't. Maybe they kind of excised some of that. Maybe Xbox Game Studio said, hey, Ninja Theory, you guys have got to wrap this up. There are some people saying that the conclusion, it kind of seems like it got to a point where when I was fighting the second giant. So Iceland guys, they're out there kidnapping the Celtic people and sacrificing them to these giants. So you're like, okay, well, if we kill the giants, they won't be kidnapping our people anymore. Enough is enough. So you fight the giants. There's so much talk about the first giant. And then just out of nowhere, hey, there's another giant. It's like, oh, so is the game about to end? Because like I kind of came across the last collectible. So we're about to end this, aren't we? And then it turns out that there's a third giant. I'm not going to get too far into it, but I'm glad that last part came up. But now I'm wondering, did the hidden folk ever actually help you? In a way, they provided a clue to help you defeat the first giant. So the way that you learn these giants' weaknesses is to learn their name and like learn their story and learn how they were cursed and became giants. It's not so much that they were born of the giant lineage, but they're regular folk that people turned on them. Maybe they did something bad. They're cursed. They become the Giants, in a sense. I think the game handled a lot of this really well. I do think that the first game had better puzzles. I thought it was more novel that way you try to line up perspective. And it seemed like the hints you kind of got from the Furies, the voices in your head, how that worked in the first game, it might have worked a little bit better. And you actually felt like you had boss fights. But in this game, every fight is like a boss fight in some way. The combat in this game is so incredibly unique. I'm really quite blown away by it. You don't feel like you've done this before. Every other game, hack and slash, you know your combo, you know, you've researched, you've forged a new sword, you've got the better technique, all that sort of stuff. You get tired of it. You do the thing once, you see how the three ways guys fall down. And this one, just everything flows together and it feels so much like a scripted event that you're also playing. Now, there is some criticism to be lobbed at a lot of things where it's like, oh, so you don't really play the game. Why didn't you just watch a movie instead? Well, you actually have all of the typical controls. You can dodge, you can block, you have a fast and a hard slash. That's not that much different from most other games that operate in this way. But in this game, you're slashing like these demon things, these bad villagers. They never seem to fall down the same way again. You seem to always finish them off differently. And then the next one tries to climb on your back. You got to fight them off. There's even unknown to you at the time, sort of quick time events, for lack of a better term here, but you can actually interact in some of these spaces more so than you think. Like this woman kind of gets shoved into the situation, she gets stabbed. Well, then I got set on fire and I died and I had to redo the fight. Next time around, well, I hit like slash or something when the woman bumped into me and I was able to like actually stab the guy that had like a knife to her throat. And then I told her, okay, you run off. And I'm like, whoa, I had no idea that I could make that choice. It's good. Even if she doesn't have a name, she's an NPC with no name. She doesn't run a shop. You don't do any of that stuff. In a similar way to the original Halo, I would like to see how many of the Marines that crash landed on Halo, how many of them I could keep alive. And I felt bad when I couldn't. And it felt rewarding when I had some left with me. And I'm not so sure how many really made it to the end of the game, but let's assume some did. I mean, hey, in some way or another, Sarge made it, right? Sergeant Johnson got off even though there's, on the legendary difficulty, there is a non-canon ending where he gets blown up, but it's supposed to be kind of in a funny way. At any point, it's good to feel like you've made some kind of choice, whether or not a dialogue box popped up saying you made a choice. You never see anything on screen telling you what you should be doing, and you don't know that you can even make these choices, which is kind of what real life is like. It's the most immersive game I've yet to play. I did play it. Well, I guess you could play this in VR at some point. I think the original game came to VR, but that might have been something they were working on before Microsoft acquired the developer Ninja Theory, and maybe they won't now because the Xbox is not geared towards VR. If you want VR, it looks like you got to go PC or PlayStation. Are they going to put that much effort in something that's going to be a PC game? Or are they also going to tailor this in a way that maybe in a year it comes to PlayStation? There's a lot of these PlayStation kids are all upset. Microsoft bought this studio over here. They're going to put this as an exclusive to Xbox. Nope. Call of Duty seems to be going everywhere still. Each year, we got a new Call of Duty for you to have to buy full price. You know, spend extra money on it, get that DLC, all that stuff. I'm not so sure that this game would get DLC. It's very much a story-driven thing. And in some way, people are saying that it's kind of designed to be played in one sitting. Like you play it for 6 hours and you go through the whole thing. You don't have much reason to leave. There's no menu system you have to open up to find out how much currency you collected to know that you can buy a potion. None of that garbage. Again, I like the older Halo games because you never had to open a menu. I can't even remember what the menu looked like in the old Halo because you never had to open it. Now so many games, you are pulled away from the gameplay to sift through a menu and do some customization garbage. I just hate it. This is some kind of return to form, a gamer's game in a way. And though it's not the most difficult and it has a lot of accessibility features, there's an auto combat. I didn't mess with it, but you could just have the game do the combat for you. That it's entirely possible. That might be kind of neat to look at. It would be fun to have like a permadeath run, and if there was an achievement associated to that, like, oh hey, that guy's awesome because he made it through Senua's saga with the permadeath. Yeah, and if you could do a stream of that, that'd be great. But you can't. Because, and this could be an error on somebody's part, you actually are not allowed to stream this game on Twitch natively through the Twitch app on the Xbox. I, in the interest of full disclosure, did receive this game from Microsoft. Now, I had to adhere to the street date. They told me to use the hashtag gift from Xbox. Should I talk about it? I mean, adhering to the street day, I want to have a review out pretty quick, but couldn't because, I mean, adhering to the street date. I would have played it at the same time anyway because I do have Xbox Game Pass Ultimate. I've had Xbox Game Pass Ultimate, I think, since they've called it Xbox Game Pass Ultimate. And it's a good value for a gamer, though I do see myself getting away from it and playing more games that are not getting on that service. Maybe they're older games, remastered of older titles. I'm playing through collections. Playing through the Mega Man collection. Played through the Metal Gear Solid collection. And this is a game that is set up to work well for Game Pass subscribers. And strangely enough, you don't actually need an Xbox. My Samsung TV has an Xbox gaming hub where it will stream games to you. Now, this stuff is improving. The latency is not a huge deal, but everything looks so compressed and pixelated over these streams, and if you don't have fiber internet, I wouldn't even bother with trying to play a Games Anywhere title in this way. I wouldn't mess with it myself. I don't know if Hellblade 2 is set up for the Games Anywhere, but it very well could be. It's a fairly popular option. Maybe all the first-party Microsoft titles on Game Pass, maybe they're set up for the Play Anywhere. Some games will work better than others. You could play Vampire Survivors easily enough, and I think it even has touch controls. The games with the touch controls you can just load up on your phone. Now, is it that much fun to have to look at your phone and hold an Xbox controller? Okay, you can control it that way if the Xbox controller connected Bluetooth, but now you're looking at a tiny screen and holding something else. If you're going to look at a tiny screen, it may as well be have your controller attached to it. And people do make some of these attachments. There are peripheries out there that will essentially turn your phone into something like a Game Boy in this way. I think that this is quite the good game and recommend it for pretty much just about anybody. It's got scares. It's a visual delight. And I do recommend that you have some decent headphones, something that's going to be comfortable. That's also another part of like the Portal. It's lightweight, seems to be the lightest of all the gaming headsets, and it doesn't look like some boy racer gamer headset. It doesn't scream gamer headset. You could probably walk around in public without feeling ashamed. So yeah, have good headsets and an Xbox. I think an Xbox Series would probably look pretty good. A Series S. I have the Series X. And even with the Series X, you don't get the 60 frames per second. The industry norm, the refresh rate of the basic TV. My TV actually does, I think, 145. But a lot of games want to do 120 for super smooth action. This is a game that wants to look more like a movie. And at 30 frames per second, it's closer to the way movies look. I think that if you actually bump this up to 60 or 120, it may not look like a movie so much anymore as you play it. A lot of the effects in it, the dust everywhere, the lighting, shadows, all of it does a good job combining to look like a cinematic presentation in a way that I don't think any game has quite accomplished before. So yeah, Hellblade 2, give it a shot. Now, I would like to, changing things up here, let's talk about the news a little bit. Okay, so Bugatti has a fun new car. I think it's called the Bolide. I'm probably saying that wrong. It is a track-only car, which makes you wonder, does this count as a street car? Because it's like, okay, we're looking at top speed. This does, I think, 310 plus. Yeah, we're in the point now where you got to go 300 plus to get newsworthy. It has these very interesting X-shape headlights. It's almost as if to say not real headlights. Like, you ever see those race cars where they have like duct tape over the headlights, or they have like yellow headlights? I still don't know what that is. I need to look that up after the pod. I really do. But yeah, it's a track-only toy. But at the same point, if you can afford it, you're probably okay with that. You're probably okay with not driving this on the open roads with all these heavens, all these uninsured jerks ready to back into you, right? Because this is no cheap car, I think, and I'd have to look this up. It's several million dollars. They're not making a lot of them. It's one of those situations. But you know what? It looks better than the Chiron. It looks like a race car, and they said something like it can pull on a F1 car. Nobody really buys that. But why can't this compete in Le Mans? Shouldn't it? Sure looks like it would compete in the prototype category or something close to it, right? In a lot of ways, it does resemble a car that can be driven on the street. So maybe it's not an F1 car, right? It's not open wheel. It doesn't require the halo or something like this to go over it. It looks like a car still, but Le Mans, it should be something they should shoot for. But doesn't that damage the prestige of your brand? Oh, hey, we've got like our $5 million race car over here. Yep, and we lost. All right, how does that look? I wonder why some of these car companies continue to race when losing looks worse than not competing. At least that's kind of the way I feel about it. Apple is slashing prices on iPhones. Finally, but only in China. Because of fierce competition from, and I should probably know how to pronounce this because they're going to be one of our AI robot overlords, Huawei, Huawei. I'm pretty sure I heard it once on CNN or whichever one has the guy with the stock who's angry about the stocks. Okay, so they actually have competition over there. And right now, Apple is enjoying a lot of freedom in the U.S. to charge whatever they want for an iPhone, a device you have to have if you want to exist in current culture. You can't go park on the downtown Wichita now without a smartphone to do their insanely overpriced parking app without getting towed. It's insane. Should be against the law. I know the mayor of Wichita. I should have something done about this, but I'm sure somebody had money to be made, and so a deal was made. Everything is requiring a smartphone to access. There are assumptions you have a smartphone. There are assumptions that you're not 90 years old and that you know how to use one. It's a little shameful that the physical world requires these devices, but it does. Now, I got an iPhone, my first iPhone SE. I got it for $50. I could have got it for free from Sprint, but I paid $50 to double the memory. I think it, what was it? Was it 64 gigabytes? I think it was, yeah, instead of 32. They're still stingy on the memory. They know that the pictures they take are ever bigger. The shooting the video, all this stuff takes up more space. The apps take up more space all the time. And they make you have to upgrade. That planned obsolescence of having you have to upgrade because you're running out of memory, everything's going slower, the battery's dying quicker. And they're quite fortunate they have one competitor, Samsung, one serious competitor in the United States, because China is forbidden from selling theirs here. Because if China does it, it's clearly a front for spying on Americans and learning their dietary habits, right? Lastly, we've got some nonsense from some researchers. This comes from CNN, of course. Horrific nightmares may signal initial onset of these chronic diseases, study says. And then when you quickly peruse here, you don't really see what the diseases are. Like, maybe this should come up a little easier. Like, what are these diseases? It says lupus, a long-term disease in which the body's immune system goes haywire. So what other diseases? Arthritis. While research in the field is rather new, March 2019 study found patients with inflammatory arthritis and other autoimmune and inflammatory diseases also experience nightmares and other REM sleep disorders, such as losing their religion. Yeah, well, I've had some sleep paralysis. It's pretty horrifying. You get that sleep paralysis in combination with the night terrors thing, where it's like somebody, and they don't even have to look scary. They're looming over your bed and you're frozen. And I usually feel like I scream myself awake and, you know, the heart really kicks in. And it's sort of like I'm trying to scream, but my mouth won't open. And then I just start screaming. And then I'm like, did you guys hear me? Did I yell or something? I somehow, I guess, have dreamt myself awake. Dreamed of myself waking up as I'm waking up. As other people will be in the vicinity and be like, I didn't hear anything. You didn't hear me scream. You didn't hear me scream for help as I was getting up. You know, in the movies, when somebody always wakes up from their nightmare, people see it like, hey, what's the matter? It's not that way for me. My dreams are so different than everybody else's. I have to wonder if I'm actually the one. Bye-bye now.